Good afternoon, and welcome to the Green Thumb Show. I'm Lee Murray, your reader for Sun Sounds of Arizona. Thanks for joining us. From the Arizona Republic, evergreens can add variety to your landscape, by Chris McKeown. When you hear the word style, most people would associate it with the clothes they wear, but it could also be related to the way the inside of your house is decorated. Many people don't consider their landscape to be stylish. Landscape styles usually fall into two simple categories, formal or informal. In the landscape world, synonyms for formal or informal could be maintained or free-formed. Formal or maintained landscapes are typically well-groomed, requiring frequent maintenance, while informal or free-formed are landscapes where the plants are left to grow. This works if you're using plants that will stay small and not become overgrown. Evergreen plants are especially hard to control and keep small. This is because whenever you start to trim them, they lose their natural shape and you become destined to continually trim them into round ball or square box shapes. However, in the last few years, there have been several new evergreen plants that have become available that stay small without any of your help. This is a good thing. They are all in the arborvitae family. Most people know arborvitaes as tall, somewhat narrow growing evergreens that are most frequently used for screening because they will grow very tall. These new varieties of arborvitaes are nothing like the norm. These are varieties that can fit in many different places in the landscape and are all more colorful. There are a couple of varieties of arborvitaes that would be great to use as a foundation planting, such as Golden Globe and Mr. Bowling Ball. These would be a great alternative to the older varieties of boxwoods that have had some problems in recent years. These plants are both naturally round in shape. Golden Globe has bright yellow foliage and it will grow to be 4 feet tall and wide. Mr. Bowling Ball is all green and grows to be 3 feet tall and wide. There are a couple of other varieties that will grow even smaller. There is one plant called Pancake that only gets to be about 1 foot tall but will spread out 2 feet. With this description, it's easy to understand where its name came from. Keeping with the food theme, there is another one called Tater Tot. These grow 2 feet tall and wide. Both of these are green in color. There are other varieties that stay small while adding some bright color to the landscape. The smallest of all of these is one named Anna's Magic Ball. Anna has bright gold foliage, and she only grows to be 15 inches tall and wide. The Fire Chief, another type of arborvitae, has foliage that is a blend of orange and yellow. Fire Chief will grow 3 feet tall and wide. These are all round and mounding. There is an upright variety that will give you height without becoming overgrown. This one is called Frankie Boy, which grows to 6 feet tall and 4 feet wide. It is also very colorful with golden foliage. Since these are all in the arborvitae family, they will all prefer a full day of sunlight. They will tolerate moderate shade in the morning or late afternoon. They will be much more colorful if they get adequate sunlight. From the April issue of Costco Connection, can you dig it? Gardening season has arrived. From flower-filled borders to lush containers to overflowing veggie beds, it's time to get outdoors and think outside the box. Add a piece of whimsical art to your garden bed. Play with color or go crazy with foliage. Get creative in the garden this year. From Laura Langston. Horticulturalist Stephen Biggs, who shares his edible gardening and cold climate fig growing expertise at foodgardenlife.com, says, "When we skip the shoulds and ask a lot of what-ifs, then we can make a garden that suits our needs, our situation, and our aesthetic. Be wildly creative and let your circumstances fuel your garden creativity." Given the responses to our gardening call to action, Costco Connection readers are frequently thinking outside the box and gardening with their own needs in mind. For instance, inspired by a desire to embrace sustainability and foster biodiversity, Christian Misner of St. Louis got rid of his lawn and turned his urban backyard into a thriving vegetable and flower garden. It provides fresh produce, it attracts pollinators, but it's not just about toil and harvest, it's also a space for relaxation and camaraderie, he says. Weaving flowers and edibles together is a great way to add color, texture, and height in an edible garden, says Biggs. It also helps to maximize space if your garden is small. Not sure where to start? Edge a flower border with curly leaf parsley or weave a few edible flowers into a vegetable patch, Biggs adds. Tuck frilly purple kale or clumps of chives into the middle of a flower bed. Gardening in containers? Pair tomatoes with marigolds and add trailing nasturtiums. After struggling to maintain the edging between her grass and shrubs, horticulturalist Carrie Byram came up with an inventive solution. I used copper tubing for home plumbing as an arch border, says Byram of Cedar Falls, Iowa. I didn't know if it would work, but I liked the look of the copper and it was very easy to work with. Growing up. Vertical elements such as trellises, arbors, cages, and obelisks pull the eye up, which adds more dimension to the garden. They can function as a focal point, add shade and privacy to your yard, help you fit more into small spaces, and even act as camouflage. Costco member Heather Blackmore of Orland Park, Illinois, placed trellises in front of her air conditioning unit situated in a high traffic area in her garden. I zip-tied 5 trellises together to support dahlias and anything else I wanted to grow, Blackmore says. You hardly know the AC is there during the growing season unless you're looking for it. Consider existing fences, walls, trees, and shrubs for vertical support, says Biggs, who last year planted scarlet runner beans outside his dining room window to add a splash of red to his Toronto garden and attract hummingbirds. Repurposing is another way to be wildly creative in the garden. I have an old white metal gate from my late neighbor, and when her house was torn down, we took it and I use it now as a trellis for vining crops, Biggs says. Another way to be wildly creative in the garden is by repurposing what you already have. Costco member Mary Kay Sheary of Elwood City, Pennsylvania, used an antique ladder to create a bird feeding structure and also repurposed a lamppost to serve as a flower pot holder. Costco members John and Linda Morgan of Castleberry, Florida, used an old canoe to create their beach-themed garden. Elma and Wayne Chabers of Mullen, Idaho, turned an old water fountain into a flower fountain. And Lori Smad of Fort Worth, Texas, even incorporated an old Jeep frame into her garden. Inclement weather gardening. Sometimes garden challenges can lead to the most creative solutions. Because he gardens in a cold climate, Biggs pushes zone boundaries by gently bending his in-ground fig trees to soil level and insulating them. In winter, I dig around the trees on one side and dig through the roots there, but I leave the roots on the other side, he says. Then I tip the tree over like a hinge so it's flat to the ground before insulating it with leaves or straw. This creative approach could also be used to overwinter standard roses. Once the threat of frost is gone, uncover the fig tree, stand it upright, and restore the soil. Be creative with dormancy, Biggs says. If you garden in a cold climate, wait until potted fig trees or potted tender perennials like Angel's Trumpet drop their leaves before putting them in a cold garage or basement to wait out the winter. You don't always need a greenhouse or bright sunny window, Biggs tells The Connection. Costco member Tim Batchelor of Blairsville, Georgia, came up with his own creative fix after struggling with weeds, hard clay, a watering issue, and damage to his garden from wildlife. He used black storm drain pipe to help create his vegetable garden. Because the pipe was black, it absorbed heat during the day and created an abundance of roots, Batchelor says. Everybody says I grow the best vegetables. Raise your spirits. Raised garden beds are the perfect solution if you're struggling with bending over for long stretches of time. I'm 81 years old with age-related degeneration of the spine, says Carolyn Allen, a Costco member from Lefroy, Ontario, who used a deep and durable raised bed to plant tomatoes. It also has a convenient water gauge so you know when to water. Raised beds are also a creative way to address challenging growing conditions. If you have poor soil, a raised bed can be an easy solution to giving your plants the conditions they need to flourish, says Byram, who added raised beds to her own garden and loves the defined lines and ease of weeding. Soil doesn't get compacted in raised beds, and they also warm up earlier in the season, making them a particular asset to cold climate gardeners. Building a hoop lid or glass-framed lid will extend the growing season further, and adding a 2 to 3 inch layer of active compost before finishing with an inch of topsoil and closing the lid will generate more heat too. Prefabricated beds are convenient and fast to set up, but raised beds can also be made without framing by simply moving soil into place. We couldn't grow tomatoes in most of our yard because of a big black walnut tree nearby, Big says. So we made wicking beds, raised beds with reservoirs that keep the tomato roots out of the soil below. And with that creative solution, we grow tomatoes under a walnut tree. Garden beds, particularly if they're fenced, can also act as pest and critter deterrents. Carrie Corbett, a Costco member who gardens in British Columbia's Columbia Valley, has what she calls hostile wildlife conditions, so she's opted for a round, fenced-in garden bed. I call my garden Fort Knox, as it's completely deer and rabbit-proof, she says. Finally, keyhole gardens can be an environmentally and budget-friendly way to get creative in your garden. Similar to the traditional raised bed, the keyhole garden is a raised bed with a notch cut into the middle to allow easy access to the cage or compost pile in the center. The cage is filled with yard and kitchen waste that decomposes, releasing nutrients into the rest of the bed. Prefabricated keyhole garden frames can be purchased and assembled in a few hours. Or take a creative tip from Clam Gulch, Alaska resident and Costco member Jim Kinchello. He started his third keyhole garden with an old rusted burn barrel filled with household compost. I surrounded the barrel with a rich lasagna of grass clipping, seaweed, and horse manure, and the first summer I planted potatoes, Kinchello says. Then cabbage, kale, and potatoes. All three of his keyhole gardens continue to flourish. The science and simplicity of it hooked me like a wild Alaska salmon, he adds. The brilliant concept has been feeding my family for years. Dry garden plants, drought-tolerant succulents are low maintenance and will even thrive with neglect, provided you remember one thing. They need good drainage no matter where they grow, horticulturalist Carrie Byram says, so make sure their soil has good drainage or containers have drainage holes in the bottom. Being shallow-rooted, succulents are happy in hanging baskets and terracotta pots, and they're standouts in whimsical things such as baking tins and toy trucks you haven't gotten rid of. Go with the flow, get the right hose for your garden by Julie Kendrick. As you're cleaning up the garden this spring, you may notice that your current hose looks a little worse for wear. If it's time for a replacement, we checked in with landscape expert Chris Lambton, host of HGTV's Yard Crashers, and Clipped to help you decide which hose to buy and how to keep it in tip-top shape for years to come. Lambton, a Costco member, says that a vinyl hose is the most versatile choice. They're easy to find, and they come in a variety of lengths and color choices, he says. They're also easy to roll up and store in a real storage box. For those with a small area to cover, like a patio or a balcony adorned with planters, Lambton suggests an expandable hose, which is convenient to store when not in use. If you're a serious gardener who needs a more durable and hard-working hose for multiple tasks, a rubber hose is the one to invest in, he says. Like vinyl ones, they'll still roll up easily on reels. As gardening season gets busier, it might be tempting to leave your new hose in a tangle when you're done watering. Lambton says this is a big no-no. You should always roll up or store it when not in use, he says. You'll not only avoid a tripping hazard, but you'll lengthen its lifespan since hoses lying out with water left in them will expand or contract with temperatures, adding wear and tear. To prepare for winter, Lambton offers this advice. Disconnect your hoses, remove any attachments you have on them, drain them completely, and store them for the season in a dry location like a shed, garage, or basement, he says. With the right storage and care, you'll be ready to reconnect your hoses next spring for another amazing growing season. Also from Costco Connection, Stop and Smell the Roses, Heirloom Roses Cultivates a Legacy by Rich Galusio. Ben and Kara Hanna, owners of Costco Rose Bush supplier Heirloom Roses, believe that few flowers possess the brilliance and elegance of a rose. Their passion for roses led them to purchase Heirloom Roses, a family-owned nursery located in St. Paul, Oregon. When the founders of Heirloom Roses, John and Louise Clements, visited England in the early 1970s, They were mesmerized by the beauty of the English gardens, including old garden roses. These roses, which existed before 1867, are known for their fragrant, big, beautiful blooms with variations that include climbing and rambling roses. In 1973, the Clemences founded their backyard nursery to grow old garden roses, also known as heirloom roses. In 2013, the Hannas, who are Costco members and had been longtime heirloom roses customers, purchased the business to continue its legacy. Heirloom Roses hand-propagates each of its own root roses. Through cuttings taken from stock plants, the own root process produces exact replicas of each mother rose bush, resulting in stronger, healthier plants. Own root roses are less susceptible to viruses that cause the leaves and blooms to have a spotted or blotchy appearance. In addition to using own root growing as virus control, the Hannas say that they use pesticides sparingly. Their team of growers brings in carnivorous insects such as tiny arachnids, parasitoid wasps, and green lacewing larvae that eat insect species that are harmful to roses. They know which species to release into their nursery during each season. Through unique cultivating practices, Heirloom Roses continues a legacy of growing these beautiful roses. If you are looking to add flowers to your garden, these roses will add an air of elegance for years to come. Well, there's some good advice. Now, here's a little sidebar on pruning. The Hannas offer these tips for pruning yearly in the spring or fall. Cut the plant back to approximately 3 feet. Remove shriveled, dry, or black branches as they will no longer produce new growth. Make final cuts at a 45-degree angle about a quarter inch above bud eyes, the area on stems where branching occurs. Snip off faded flowers at the base with pruners while leaving as much foliage as possible. Clean up cuttings, dead leaves, and other debris to minimize the growth of diseases. And the final item from the Costco Connection Home and Garden special section, Garden Oasis, Key Steps for Setting Up a Greenhouse by Rosie Wolf Williams. Greenhouses are no longer solely for use by estate gardens or plant nurseries. They come in all sizes and shapes to fit individual needs. They can extend the growing season in colder climates, offer a humid environment for growing plants, and prevent animals, birds, and insects from damaging fragile young seedlings. No matter the size or type of greenhouse you choose, the key is to find the best possible location for plant growth and to set up the inside to fit your needs. Choose the right spot. The greenhouse should be located on a level surface slightly elevated from surrounding ground surface, says Randall Britton, Executive Vice President of Yardistry Structures, a Costco supplier. It is imperative to position it in an area that is protected from harsh winds and frost pockets. Choose an area that gets plenty of sun, ideally with a south or southeast exposure, Britton says. Place the longest side of the greenhouse to the sun to maximize exposure. Depending on what you intend to grow, afternoon shade may also be good. Assess your needs. Once you have a general plan in place, think about the cost and the available space. Decide on a water source and if you will need to have access to electricity. Buy the biggest greenhouse you can afford and can fit into your space, but even a small 6x8-foot greenhouse can help you start seedlings, protect delicate plants, and store gardening equipment. Generally, twin-wall polycarbonate, the thicker the better, is a much better protector of plants, says Andrew Cook, Vice President of Sales and Marketing at Exacto Trading, a Costco supplier. Higher-level glass greenhouses have, in recent years, become the product of choice as an alternative backyard pavilion to be used as a personal space. Other considerations. If you're building the greenhouse from the ground up, build the frame first before constructing any sort of base. Your choice of floor material can vary according to your needs. Keep in mind who will have access to the greenhouse. Do they use wheelchairs or have other mobility needs? If so, choose flooring that is flat, firm, and smooth. Many greenhouses have ground-level growing beds with gravel, tamped-down soil, or paving in between to make tending the beds easier to access and allow water to drain away. Bricks or concrete create humidity, so it may not be the best choice, Britton says. You can make your greenhouse more efficient by dividing up the space into four zones: potting, plants, storage, and trash, including compost. Situate compost areas near the exit for easy disposal. Use benches or tables for growing plants in the area where they have optimum sunlight and space. Water access, water taps, or rain barrels should be located nearby to avoid carrying buckets or having a water hose across the floor. Don't forget to use that vertical space. Hanging plants can be grown on hooks, and trellises or tiered shelves are useful for small tool storage. Grow taller plants against walls. Smaller or shorter plants can be left on potting tables and benches once the growing season is well underway. Folding benches can shade tender crops and offer potting space. Use the area under benches and tables to stow potting soil, unused pots, and garden tools that should be stored out of the sun's UV rays. Types of greenhouses. The three most popular and useful greenhouses for gardeners and hobbyists are freestanding greenhouses, cold frames, and lean-to or attached greenhouses. Freestanding greenhouses have four walls and stand on their own. They're usually large enough for a gardener to stand and work inside. Cold frames are typically bottomless boxes with hinged lids that are placed over the ground to protect plants from low temperatures or help plants build up resistance to outside temperatures. Lean-to or attached greenhouses are placed against an existing wall and have access to sunlight from the other three sides. And those of you who are regular listeners to this show know we feature stories each week from the terrific book called Chicken Soup for the Gardener's Soul. This story is called Mike and the Grass. It was written by humorist Irma Bobbeck. And there's a quote here from Elbert Hubbard. The love we give away is the only love we keep. Mike and the Grass. When Mike was three, he wanted a sandbox, and his father said, "There goes the yard. We'll have kids over here day and night, and they'll throw sand into the flower beds, and cats will make a mess in it, and it'll kill the grass for sure." And Mike's mother said, "It'll come back." When Mike was five, he wanted a jungle gym set with swings that would take his breath away and bars to take him to the summit, and his father said, "Good grief, I've seen those things in backyards, and do you know what they look like? Mud holes in a pasture. Kids digging their gym shoes in the ground. It'll kill the grass." And Mike's mother said, "It'll come back." Between breaths, when Daddy was blowing up the plastic swimming pool, he warned, "You know what they're going to do to this place? They're going to condemn it and use it for a missile site. I hope you know what you're doing. They'll track water everywhere and have a million water fights, and you won't be able to take out the garbage without stepping in mud up to your neck. When we take this down, we'll have the only brown lawn on the block." "It'll come back," Mike's mother said. When Mike was 12, he volunteered his yard for a campout. As they hoisted the tents and drove in the spikes, his father stood at the window and observed, "Why don't I just put the grass seed out in cereal bowls for the birds and save myself the trouble of spreading it around? You know for a fact that those tents and all those big feet are going to trample down every single blade of grass, don't you? Don't bother to answer. I know what you're going to say. It'll come back." The basketball hoop on the side of the garage attracted large or more crowds than the Olympics, and a small patch of lawn that started out with a barren spot the size of a garbage can lid soon grew to encompass the entire side yard. Just when it looked as if the new seed might take root, the winter came and the sled runners beat it into ridges. Mike's father shook his head and said, "I never asked for much in this life. Only a patch of grass." And his wife smiled and said, "It'll come back." The lawn this fall was beautiful. It was green and alive and rolled out like a sponge carpet along the drive where gym shoes had trod, along the garage where bicycles used to fall, and around the flower beds where little boys used to dig with iced tea spoons. But Mike's father never saw it. He anxiously looked beyond the yard and asked with a catch in his voice, "He will come back, won't he?" That's called Mike in the Grass, written by Irma Bombeck, one of the many stories that make up Chicken Soup for the Gardener's Soul. Here are some upcoming events at Desert Botanical Garden. On May 12th, you can celebrate Mother's Day. Treat a mom in your life to a day filled with desert blooms along the garden's trails, the spring butterfly exhibit, plus a complimentary photo op, and moms can take home a complimentary plant. Coming up from May 1st through the 31st, the Metro Phoenix Saguaro Census 2024. The Garden is launching the third annual saguaro census in May to document more saguaros throughout the Phoenix metro area using the iNaturalist app. We've learned a lot about saguaros in the valley, and new challenges have emerged. Finally, yoga at the Garden. Thursdays, May 2nd and 9th. Sundays, May 5th, 12th, 19th, and 26th. Unwind and connect with nature during this memorable sunset yoga session led by local studio Metta Yoga. Together, in a Sonoran desert oasis, we will breathe, stretch, and embrace the beauty of the setting sun while enjoying the garden view. Oh, that sounds like a good thing to do. Desert Botanical Garden is located at 1201 North Galvin Parkway in Phoenix. The number to call if you'd like to contact the Garden is 480-941-1225. Box office hours are open 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. or email contact@dbg.org. And that's the Green Thumb Show for this week. For Sun Sounds Radio, I'm Lee Murray, your reader. Thanks for joining us. Have a great week. Be safe and healthy. And we'll be talking with you soon.